It's 9:25 on a Monday night. It's premiere week on TV. This is West. I'm here with
Jason
and Derek,
and welcome to Geek Week. Tonight he's gonna get it right. Even losers can get lucky sometimes. All the freaks got a winning streak. In a perfect world, all the geeks get the girls. Welcome to Geek Week. It's great to be back with a studio full of people. I'm here with Jason and Derek.
What up, what up?
Aloha.
Jason's just gotten back from Hawaii, and we'll probably get some references later on. But
mahalo.
Derek went out there and visited him while he was there, so it was a sunny time, I suppose.
Very burn time.
Right. Tonight we're going to discuss the new, well, the old but redone Star Treks. Derek hasn't had a chance to see that, and we'll make sure he does. Correct. Before the next one. But Jason and I sat down and watched the first episode that they showed, which was not the first episode of the show.
No. It's
Balance of Terror, and it was probably, what, about halfway through season one?
That's Errand of Mercy.
Excuse me. I have Balance of Terror on the mind. I don't know. Yes, Errand of Mercy, and it was about halfway through the first season, wasn't it?
Something like that.
Sorry. That was... Ow. Stop. I'm working with old equipment. You have to bear with me for just a second. What were your thoughts on the redone track? Now, for those of you who don't know, then I'll let Jason speak. It's the 40th anniversary of Star Trek. As a matter of fact, two Fridays ago was the 40th anniversary of the premiere, and they wanted to spiff it up a little bit, so they've mastered it in high definition. And unbeknownst to fans, in a pretty surprising move that no one found out about this until about a week before it was coming on, or about 2 weeks, they redid the special effects of the show, so they got rid of the old model ships and put CGI in their place. And Jason, I'll let you go from there.
Yeah, I liked it. I dug it. It was very well done. Didn't like go over the top with the new special effects that made the old cheesiness cheesier.
Right. I felt like they did a really good job of making the new stuff look like the old models, but a little bit more clear. The ship was a little more realistic looking, and you know, the little thing on the nacelles that was moving the whole time looked real. And I would say the quote phasers that looked like photon torpedoes looked awesome.
Yeah, what I called phaser blasts.
Yes, they keep saying phasers and they fire in photon torpedo like.
It was early season one, so they hadn't worked out all that stuff.
Right. But I felt like they did an excellent job doing it. They took a page from George Lucas and decided not to make it look like his Star Wars re-releases of the original trilogies, where you can obviously tell where they've, hey, look, Ma, I've put some really good effects in here. But, those of y'all who bought the Star Wars trilogy box set this week, you probably know what I'm talking about. Did you buy that?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Because I want the original way it was originally
released. Have you watched them yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, yeah, we need to do that.
We need to watch those sometime this week and have a review of them, because I have been told that they're not completely untouched, that they got rid of the matte lines and stuff around the ships.
Well,
and
stuff
that.
Like that's cool. I mean, that's cool.
I always used to pretend those were shields, man.
It's throwing in Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, that bothered me.
At the end of Return.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's probably the biggest thing that irritated me about when he redid them.
But what irritates me is they claim they've lost the master print of the original cut of it, so it doesn't exist, because they butchered it apparently to make the special edition. Mm-hmm. So we're stuck with the just a remastered version of the DVD release. I mean, of the Laserdisc release. But from what I understand from reading online different reviews, they look really good, though. But they didn't mix it in the 5.1 stereo, so... It's not even in the original sound it was in, because they had it in Dolby Surround sound in the theaters.
Oh, that's weird. I wonder why.
Probably because they didn't want to spend the money on it.
Probably.
The only reason this release is out is so people will buy it yet again.
I was going to say, because Lucas is hurting for money, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know. Know. He says facetiously. But I will say that it's not necessarily a rumor. It just hasn't been confirmed yet. I mean, it's been said that this is happening, but they haven't put a specific date. You can go to thedigitalbits.com and read this, but there's apparently a 12-disc box set coming out for the 30th anniversary of Star Wars. It's supposed to be special editions of Episode 1, 2, and 3 as well, where they added more special effects. And they took the puppet Yoda out of Episode 1 and CGI'd him so he matched the other two, which that's fine with me as long as it looks right. But, I mean...
Yeah, I just don't feel like it's necessary, though.
I don't think so either. I don't even think we need another box set.
I mean, it's not like... It's not like it looked cheesy, even now. Right? I still think it looked good. I mean...
You know, the best thing to do is, you know, edit Jar Jar out. The movie might be a little better.
Yeah.
Jar Jar had a purpose.
Yes, I know.
Leave it alone.
Bring the little kids in.
It wasn't even the kids.
Set up the Emperor.
It wasn't all the kids.
Did you ever see Phantom Edit?
I haven't seen Phantom Edit.
See, if they did something like that with it, I'd be really happy.
It's probably on YouTube, but...
Yeah. Have you seen it, Wes?
The Phantom Edit, but I've heard that it's like really good, and they just edit out every scene that Jar Jar is in and make a movie out of it.
I'm gonna have to get Doug to burn me a copy of that.
We don't do that here. There are people that get things by other means, but we don't do that. Yes, we do.
Yes, I didn't. I'm just going to borrow it from Doug.
We are of the camp that we will get it by other means while it comes out, a la season 2 of Doctor Who. But when it comes out on DVD, we'll pick it up. When the price goes down a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I think $100 for 13 episodes is a little pricey.
Considering you can get the whole bean for like $35.
Yeah, I know. And that's twice the episodes.
No, it's about 13.
Yeah, but they're 30 minutes, too. So that's like half what Doctor Who. But, you know, it's quality show, and you got to pay for quality.
Hey, I'd pay $50. I'm paying 80.
I lucked out, and a friend of mine purchased it off of eBay. And they sent the copy here to the house because he used my eBay account. And I don't know what the snafu was, but they sent a second copy out because I guess they thought they shipped the first one. So I ended up with season 1 of Doctor Who and didn't pay a dime for it. So I thank my friend, Jamie, for getting that. Woohoo!
Missing Jamie here.
Jamie has moved away to Birmingham. But, folks, he'll be back in a couple weeks. And as soon as we can figure out the Skype connection with him, he'll be on pretty regularly. So we'll have a full house, even though none of them will be sitting here with me. I'll probably end up going over to these guys' house and set up Skype over there. So if anybody's bored.
It's set up.
Oh, you got it?
I got it.
Oh, heck yeah. Well, you got to give me all your stuff. Then we can coordinate and actually record from there.
That would be cool.
Yeah, because if we're like bored at 3 o'clock in the morning, we can just whip up and... No, that won't happen, but...
Well, I was thinking more of when there's something else to do.
Yeah, we would literally phone it in.
Right.
Yeah. I like that.
They would be phoned in. But anything else going on in the world we need to talk about? I haven't actually looked at the news and sci-fi lately.
Continuing the television.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about television. All right. But before we move on to the next topic, I would give... The special edition of Star Trek, I was very excited to see that they did not overdo it, and it looks really, really good. And I would say the colors are very bright and vibrant. You can see the pores on people's faces. And it wasn't even in high definition here. I can't imagine what it would look like in high def. It would probably look phenomenal. But the music, they re-scored the music for the beginning and re-recorded it, so it sounds really good. The effects are really, I would give it about 4 stars out of 5 as far as the presentation of it. Now, this is the first episode, and it was one of the least effects heavy episodes in the series.
It'd be really hard for me to give it a definite score. But for the first episode, it was good.
It was really good.
I'm going to reserve judgment until I see a few more. But.
Well, we'll watch a few every week, and then we'll get back to you on that. But now we're going to move on to, we have seen the first big premiere of the season, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. And I'll let Derek start with his review.
Excellent.
So go ahead, Derek.
It's very good. It's I don't want to tell you. It's
in depth.
It's Sorkin. It's quality Sorkin.
Quality.
Yeah, I was gonna say Aaron Sorkin. Man, he's done it again. I think he's the man. Yeah, yeah. I think he's top Sports Night here. Which Sports Night's my favorite of his.
Sports Night is an excellently written show. Now, for those of you who don't know, Sorkin has been around for quite a while. He wrote the original stage production of A Few Good Men. He wrote the movie version of it. He wrote The American President. He did Sports Night, which if you've never seen that, pick up the DVDs. They're really probably one of the funniest shows ever.
Pick it up.
It's one of those shows they recorded it without a laugh track, and then at the last minute the studio made them put it on there. And you know what? It's a lot funnier without it.
Yeah.
Didn't need it at all.
And I think season 2, they got rid of the laugh track.
Yeah, I think so.
But the writing is so snappy and intelligent, it's not even funny. Yeah. But then he did The West Wing, and those of you who have seen The West Wing, it's excellent. Yeah.
And don't be confused by the name. It's about a sports show in the show. The show is about a sports show.
It's like ESPN Backstage.
Right. Yeah. And it's not about
actually,
sports.
It's based on ESPN Sports Center and the guys that are in that, like what was his name? Who's got his own show now on
there's lots of them.
Oh yeah, there's I think Brian Williams was one, wasn't it? No, not Brian Williams. Who am I?
There's Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's tons of them.
There's a lot of them.
But yeah. And now Sorkin's new show is backstage at a Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. So take it away, Derek.
I don't know what to say, man.
Did you like
show.
It?
It was yeah. a you know, it was a great show. You got Matthew Perry's back.
Yeah,
he's in great form.
You know, he was not even Chandler Bing in this, was he?
No, not at all.
Well, there was Stephen some Weber. Moments of it, but
you know, there was Matthew Perry.
Stephen Weber was good in it. I think the guy that was in Revenge of the Nerds in 30 something. What's his name? The guy that worked in the control booth in the episode.
Yeah.
He was good in it. Amanda Peet's the one that blew me away, though. She's going to be really good in it, too.
Yeah.
I think the one everyone's going to enjoy, though, is Bradley Whitford.
Yeah, he's good.
He's gonna take the show, I think. He's going to be his character from The West Wing. I'll tell you that. They've 360-degree back turn. Those of you who don't know who Bradley Whitford is, if you ever saw the Adam Sandler movie Billy Madison, he played the kind of villain in that. He's a good.
That's right.
For want of a better term, Bradley Whitford's always been known for playing a real dickhead. And he does a good nice guy in this. Whereas Stephen Weber's known for playing a nice guy. He plays a real good dickhead in this. So it works out. Judd Hirsch starts out the episode and pretty much steals the show. He's basically Lorne Michaels
type.
He
always steals the show.
But he comes in and basically scares the death out of the network, and they fire him live on television, and then they hand it over to the two guys they fired years before that really were the head writers.
If you're an SNL buff, it's kind of like if Lorne freaked out on the air and they gave the show to Al Franken and Davis. I can't remember Davis's first name. But it's like if back in the day they had given it to them.
Yeah. And who knows what Saturday Night Live would have been like.
Knowing Franklin and Davis.
I thought it was an excellent, excellent show, and for a first episode, it was very
It was amazing.
Want it to end. It ended, and I'm like, no, pick up right there.
As a matter of fact, I can't wait till next Monday when episode two comes on.
Yeah, it's definitely a beautiful show. I really think they're going to push the boundaries of everything television.
I just hope they allow them to stay on the air long enough to get a fan following. But I don't think that's going to be a problem. With as badly as NBC is doing right now next to CBS and ABC, they need this show to survive. The other one that we're looking forward to is Tina Fey's new show, and I can't remember what it's called.
30 Rock,
which is actually set in NBC. And they're not a fictional show. They're actually on NBC, and Alec Baldwin's in it playing her boss. And it looks like it's just going to be really funny. It's the same premise, basically, but it's a comedy. It's a comedy series instead of a drama. Now, don't be fooled. Studio 60 on Sunset Strip is not a comedy series. It is a drama. And you can tell
Aaron Sorkin, so it's both.
It's got a lot of funny moments, but it's going to be more dramatic than anything. There's going to be a lot of backstage yelling and screaming.
It's going to make you think.
Yeah. Sorkin always makes you think.
Yeah.
He always makes you think.
Well, all right.
Well, we thought that was going to last a lot longer than 13 minutes.
Nah.
So, I guess I could ask Derek his impressions of Dragon Con. Those of y'all who might have been able to hear me last week, I gave my impression, but I only went one day. And Derek was there the whole time. So, take it away, Derek. Tell us about your experiences at Dragon Con.
Well, I thought there was a definite upgrade in costume quality. As far as the average person walking around, it definitely seemed to be upgraded. Now, as far as the actual costume contest, those were wretched.
Were they really
horrible? I don't know why, but yeah, they were not good. But you know, it was definitely very crowded. I thought it was probably almost as crowded as popularity. Of some things, when you shove Nicholas Brendon into a tiny room, one of the original cast members of Buffy.
One of the main cast members at that.
The original, who is actually in the pilot before they cast some other people.
Yeah.
Allison Hannigan.
And you put him in a tiny room. So, you know, I wonder.
But you know what? The time I spent there, and that was mid-afternoon on Saturday when you thought it'd be busy, there was no line, and it was like walk right up to him and say hello.
Well, that's the Walk of Fame. That's completely separate.
You're talking about the actual room.
Talking
or
like a panel. Yeah,
they did the same
panel.
Thing to John Rhys Davies years ago, and that was just awful. We got down there to see him, and they had him in this tiny room, and there was a huge line, and we waited for, what, like a half hour, 45 minutes in the line, and someone comes out and goes, oh, this room's already full. I don't know why anybody's in line.
Yeah.
Like, even the people at the front of the line didn't get in.
It was crazy.
Over the charts. Speaking of lines, I actually think I had the most fun standing in line waiting for my tickets. We waited 3.5 hours for tickets.
And that's not a long wait.
No, actually, that was one of the shorter waits. And we just had a blast with the people in line in costumes and making fun of other people in costumes. And the really scary lady that was up front taking tickets.
Half the fun of Dragon Con is the people watching.
Yep. Yep.
And some would even go as far as to say it's, you know, 75% of the fun. So, you know.
Hey, you get drunk enough, it's 100% of the fun.
Well, I had a lot of fun taking the pictures later in the evening. Yes. We ran into you up
took
in the
over
atrium.
100 pictures, so.
Oh, man, I took like 67 of myself and... telling you, it was a lot of fun. If you want to find out about Dragon Con, go to www.dragoncon.org. There's a lot of information about. They don't have guests for next year up yet. Although, like this time last year, they already had about 4 or 5 people listed. But they usually have a. I don't think the guest panel was ferociously cool this year. I mean, there was a couple of good guests, but. I've seen other years, and they had a lot better guests there.
Yeah.
But there really wasn't anything big sci-fi out this year either. They did not have any Doctor Who guests, which I think was a big failing. They should have had, with as popular as that show's getting now, they should have had at least, heck, they could have got Mickey over here, surely. But
and what about Superman the movie? I mean, they could have.
Yeah, they could have had some Superman guests there, definitely. And speaking of Superman, have you guys seen the covers to the new Superman 2-disc special editions that are coming out?
No.
You haven't seen those?
No.
Well, I'll have to show you. If you go to thedigitalbits.com, they're talking about all the different stuff they've added to it. Superman, the movie, is a 4-disc set. Superman 2 is 2-disc, and 3 and 4 are 1-disc each with minimal special features.
Yeah, you can skip 3 and 4.
But they're also releasing the Donner cut as well at the same time, so you'll be able to get the actual sat down by Donner edit of it.
Right.
There's been an edit of it out for a while, and I think Jason's got it at home.
Well, I've got a copy that a friend of mine threw together. It's not really done by Donner himself. My friend kind of took the pieces that were out there and threw them where they were supposed to be, and so it's not really a done.
I will have to say that if you were not a fan of the episode of the Star Wars movies covers, you're going to hate Superman because it's just Photoshopped crap, personally. I don't know why they won't put the actual cover art from the movie poster one sheet art on there, but they hate doing that for some reason. Let's get down here and I'll show you the picture of it. Some interesting news. Blade Runner is finally going to get a big special edition.
Cool.
You know, they've put the movie out several times, but it's just been movie only. It's the director's cut, and it's not even had a digital sound system, surround sound. They're finally going to do it. It just sounds
really
cool.
I imagine they haven't done something like that before this.
Well, Blade Runner is such a seminal movie as far as like sci-fi is concerned.
Yeah, huge cult classic.
Let me find these covers. Where did they go? There they are.
Okay,
they kind of suck really bad, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they're all right.
If you go to thedigitalbits.com, you can look up the Superman covers if you want. You know, those are great movies, and even kind of campy as far as 3 and 4, but you can still enjoy them. Just pretend like they're not part of the timeline.
Get drunk, you can enjoy them.
I mean, come
really, if you get
Richard Pryor and Superman, how could you go wrong?
No disrespect to Richard. He was off on that.
Well, notice Superman 3's cover doesn't have a picture of Richard Pryor.
That's really weird. I wonder if his people kind of...
His peeps are like, I don't want Richard involved.
Yeah.
Maybe they cut him out
of the
movie.
I was going to say, actually, though, in 3, there is one good part, is the fight scene between Clark and Superman. I thought that was excellent. But that's the only good part of the whole movie.
Superman fights himself. It's like when Kirk beats himself up in Star Trek 6.
Yeah, except that was a changeling.
Yeah. Well, it still looked like Kirk. You know, I was listening to a commentary over on MMM Commentaries, and they got one for Star Trek VI, and somebody makes a good point. the changeling character, whenever she would change into something, still had her same voice, except when she turned into Kirk. And suddenly, she could mimic his voice.
Well, just because she chose not to up to that point doesn't mean she couldn't do it.
I know.
I mean, at that point, it was important for her voice to be different.
Yeah, so you didn't know.
Because otherwise, you would know which one was Kirk and which wasn't.
Yeah.
I always thought it'd be cool if you found out later on that it really was the fake Kirk that got killed. that made it and the real Kirk died. But alas, they had to give him the stupid "I fell off the bridge" death. Going to television news real quick. Apparently, have any of y'all ever seen Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation? It stars Gene Hackman, and it's about a surveillance expert in the 1970s. Harrison Ford's in it. He's in one little scene. He walks up and says, like, "There's a message for you, sir," at the front desk, and hands Gene Hackman a thing. But it's considered Coppola's other masterpiece, not counting The Godfather. Yeah, and they're turning it into a weekly television series. But they're not, you know, I think it'd be interesting if they set it in the 1970s, but they're setting it now. It's going to be more like Enemy of the State. But that's just kind of, they're running out of ideas, guys.
Running out of ideas?
Or they've ran out of ideas a long time ago.
No, it's just they're afraid of new ideas. That's all it is.
Bingo.
Yeah. Here's a sad note, kind of. As of yesterday evening, the WB ceased production or showing shows by showing 4 TV pilots of some of the series they had on, including the Buffy pilot, the Angel pilot. I believe they showed Felicity's pilot, which some consider, I'm not one of them because I didn't watch it, but they consider it the greatest television pilot ever made, supposedly.
No.
Apparently the writing...
I'm sorry, Felicity?
Yeah, no, apparently.
It's not, no.
As a matter of fact...
I don't care what they say. No, it's not.
Oh, I agree
watched
with
the
you.
First season, but no, it's not.
It's not. There's been other pilots that are better, like, you know, Firefly.
Well, we just watched one, actually.
Yeah, Studio 60 on Sunset Strip.
Studio 60 was pretty close to perfect.
They also showed, I believe, the pilot episode of Dawson's Creek, and all the fans are like, but they should have shown Gilmore Girls instead.
No.
No, I don't think so. They should have showed Smallville's pilot. Mm. Or Charmed, even. Sorry, I can't even believe I said that with a straight face. Oh, man. Fox has a bunch of crap coming out like usual. Did you hear that Did you hear that the Dead Zone got a 6th season? They're doing another season of the Dead Zone.
How are they going to do that? They kind of finished it with the 5th season.
Apparently not.
No, really.
Well, all I know is it's a major headline everywhere. They gave it a 6th season.
Is Anthony Michael Hall going to do it?
Yes.
Because the last interview I heard with him, he already had other projects lined up.
It's been signed, my friend.
Wow.
Let me get a sci-fi.com. They're the ones that have the best story.
I was going to say, don't tell me they're going to move it to sci-fi. Cause yeah, I won't.
It's going to the sci-fi that's channel the where they're going to reimagine it.
It's going to start right there, Michael Hall, but he's going to be a completely different character without powers.
It's
going to
be played by Richard Hatch. the story that SciFiChannel.com has, and this is the same one that Ain't It Cool News had and Cinescape Online had, is that they gave it and Psych. Psych gets a 2nd season. Have you seen Psych?
I've seen bits of it. I'm trying not to get into a lot of new stuff. I got so much that I'm into right now. I'm trying to divide my time between other things.
It says here that the USA Network ordered up 13 episodes, 6th season. Starring Anthony Michael Hall. The basic cable network also gave an order of 16 episodes for Psych. Dead Zone was an unlikely candidate for renewal. Shot in Vancouver, the show has grown more expensive over the years, rising from a production cost of $1.2 million per episode to about $1.7.
Lord.
And it says USA Network is owned by NBC Universal, which owns Psych.
Serenity. Yeah. They'll give $1.7 million.
Well, I mean, you know, I have to say I like the Dead Zone, but... yeah, you got a point there.
I think Fox is a little bit stingier, although, you know.
Well, I mean, but my thing about this is I was quite sure that the interview I read with Anthony Michael Hall, he said they were finishing it. It was going to be like the end of the movie, the
Well,
Dead
you know,
Zone.
I think if they throw enough money at him, they'll figure out a way to
Yeah,
get
well,
him.
No, I'm sure. I mean, it's not Hollywood. Like he's got a lot going on, but...
They're all whores.
But, well, you kind of have to be in Hollywood, I mean...
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean, I don't blame him. It's a good show. If you can stick with it, stick with it. But I just don't know how they're going to pull it off.
Well, just for those of y'all that are interesting, this week is the season finales of Stargate and Stargate Atlantis. Although this is the actual series finale of Stargate, I think.
Or,
No. It's halfway through the season, I think. But next week...
My Stargate experience begins and ends with a feature film.
Yeah.
Next week, they're having a three-hour marathon of the new Doctor Who. So everyone... Before the new Who premieres, they're showing like the last five episodes of season one.
They're doing this on the Sci-Fi Network?
Yeah, Sci-Fi Channel.
Well, I'll just say people...
They're starting with the Christmas invasion.
People,
and
if you're going to watch this Doctor Who, but I cannot promote the Sci-Fi Network in any way, shape, or form other than that.
I would say if you can think about it, wait and watch it on BBC America.
Yeah,
when
I was
going to
say. Yeah, I'm sure G4 will pick it up pretty soon. They're picking up every other sci-fi.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that has gotten it from alternate means.
Dude, G4 has better sci-fi than the Sci-Fi Network.
That is pretty sad.
That's sad.
Oh, here's an interesting Doctor Who fact. The last lines of the Sixth Doctor were, "Carrot juice." Yeah, the Sci-Fi Channel can't even come up with good trivia. I mean, is that a trivia question you really wanted to know about Doctor Who? The Sixth Doctor's last line should have been, "I've had too much to drink. Don't fire me."
That probably was his actual last line.
Yes, please God, don't fire me. That's before they put the wig on Sylvester McCoy and had to lay on the floor. But apparently they're showing...
Did we talk about that Tennant has signed on for another season?
No, we didn't. David Tennant has signed on for another season. Moving right along.
It'll be the fourth season and his third.
Yeah, and he'll do three seasons of The Doctor, and apparently he'll probably be gone at the end of that.
So yeah, I don't know. The article I read, it said that after that he was planning to go to Hollywood. It wasn't an interview with him, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, you don't know anything until it actually happens. Because remember, Billy Piper was supposed to stay on until season three as well.
Yeah, and we don't know that wasn't a rumor put out by Russell T. Davies.
We also don't know that she won't be back in some capacity in season three either.
Right.
So, true.
True dat. We're going to try to remain as spoiler-free as we can about Series 3 of Doctor Who. There's not a lot known about it right now other than the first episode's called The Runaway Bride.
Well, if we don't know a lot, it's easy to remain spoiler-free.
That is true.
Indeed.
The only things we do know, and this isn't really something integral to the show, is that he's got a new companion, because we knew that would happen. The Doctor can't go without a companion. And that Captain Jack will be back sometime.
Do we know her name? The actress's name?
The actress's name is Freema Agyeman.
What?
Freema Agyeman, or Agyeman. And she's playing a character called Martha Jones, who's like a computer programmer. And apparently, a lot more Earthbound stories, because they're going to introduce a complete family like they did with Rose. So...
I don't know about that.
Apparently her dad was in Doctor Who in the original series, the guy playing her father.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, I kind of feel like they shouldn't go the same route.
No, I think he needs to get off the planet. I think he should travel by himself for a little while.
I'm going to trust Russell. He hasn't done wrong so far.
As I say on Podshock, and Russell we trust, but...
Yeah. And Joss we trust.
Joss and Russell.
And Joss.
Wouldn't it be cool if Joss...
Brian Singer.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be really cool if Joss wrote a Doctor Who episode?
Yes, it would.
That would be Buffy meets the Doctor.
No. I think
the TARDIS should land on Serenity.
Yeah. I think Joss and Russell ought to get together and do like a completely new project.
Just create something.
That
would be
awesome.
That would
be beautiful.
Well, you know, Joss Whedon's a professed Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, Russell T. Davies is a huge Buffy fan. So
yeah, well, I mean, that's when I first heard about the new Doctor Who way before it was even on, that I was reading, and I was reading a lot about it, and I was kind of unsure. And then I read an interview with Russell, and he was saying that he loved Buffy, he loved Joss, and that Joss had raised the bar, and that he planned to try to meet it. And that's when I went, okay, it should be good.
Yeah, well, you got to check out this the website here is all these lines from the show. You get to vote on what the greatest moment of Series 2 is. Eczema. Yeah, I'm losing you. I can't hear you.
Me?
Yeah. Well, where did Jason go?
Is that better?
Hello.
I can hear you now. You're back.
Hello.
He's back.
Doctor Who.
Let me pull up. There's some really good pictures on Doctor Who. It's bbc.co.uk/Doctor Who. And they've got pictures of the new of Tennant and Martha on here with Tennant's new costume. So Tennant is now wearing a blue suit with red tennis shoes.
That looks pretty good.
And that's his new companion.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, she's a lot of people are already saying she's even hotter than Billy. She was in Army of Ghosts, by the way. She played the girl who gets turned into a cyber slave toward the beginning. They rip her ear off.
Yeah,
kill her.
Yeah, she's attractive. No, not hotter than Billy.
But look at his suit, man. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's interesting. It's not pinstriped anymore. It's like, right. It's almost like a leisure suit.
Right.
Wow. Because from the farther away shot, it doesn't look that much different, but besides the color.
He looks very serious, though, doesn't he?
Yeah. And she's got a smile on her face.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to be interesting for him to have a companion. And she's not counting Mickey, who really wasn't technically a TARDIS companion. He's just in a couple episodes. Yeah. She's the first African-American character to be a companion on the TARDIS.
Right.
I think you're having problems with your microphone cable.
How are we doing?
All right, I hear you now.
Okay. Maybe I should just hold it down here?
Yeah, hold it like that. Ooh, yeah, baby. Hold it like that.
Okay.
There's some great pictures. There's a whole page devoted to Captain Jack.
Yeah.
Captain Jack off.
Nope. Okay. Whoa. Yeah,
Wes is pulling up Captain Jack porn.
No, it's not Captain Jack porn. There's some cool TARDIS shots in here. There's a lot of neat pictures on here. You can see the closer up shots of the TARDIS console room. For those of y'all that are nostalgic, you can... Wait, those are all Doctor shots for the season.
Yeah, let's see some rows.
The Ninth Doctor, there's a bunch of with him on there.
Yeah, let's see some
rows.
This is
a cool background screen right there.
Yeah, let's look at some rows.
You want to look at some rows? Why do people want to see Rose so badly?
Billy
Piper
is so beautiful.
Let me find
Man.
Beautiful shot of Rose. These are all like series one. I'm trying to find ones of her. Like, that's a good one of her.
Yep.
That's a really good one of her. I'm sure the fans at home are
go with the one above that one you just clicked. The one with that,
One with the dark eyes and the hat.
Oh, I'm digging that.
You want to see somebody that's beautiful?
I am digging that.
Check this out. Georgia Moffat. You ever heard of her?
Georgia Moffat?
No.
I can't say that.
Georgia Moffat.
And who might she be?
She
Wes,
is
tell
an
us.
Actress from England who has been in quite a few things. And I'll show you a picture of her. And then I'll tell you who she is.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like 13 right there.
No,
dude.
She's actually like 21.
She looks 13.
Right there. I'll give you maybe she is.
You know, that's right there. I have a friend who I will not watch The Professional with because he just keeps going. I won't mention his name, but he just keeps going on about how hot Natalie Portman is, and I'm like, yeah, she is now.
That's Peter Davison's daughter.
Okay.
And I can see it. And Sandra Dickinson.
I could totally see Peter and Sandra in her. That's
weird.
Wow.
Matter of fact, there's a good picture of them from the news.
And what is she in?
She is in...
Wow, that is a horrible picture of Sandra Dickinson.
Yeah, I know. She's just a lot prettier than that. But she's in a show called Where the Heart Is in England right now. And it's like a school kids type show. It's not a kids show, but she plays like a school kid. She actually was the first actress up for the part of Rose, but couldn't do it.
Oh, okay.
So it would have been kind of cool to have the Doctor's daughter play in Rose.
Yeah, but
I think
it was
they scored a big one with...
Yeah.
See, she's a little older looking there.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
Yeah.
I think we'll see her again.
When she's not 13-year-old looking.
No, I just think that's just a bad picture of her.
Nah, dude. She's like 13 there. There's no way that she's over 16.
You're probably right, and I lost you again. Yeah.
How's that?
It's a cheap microphone cable, folks. You have to bear with us.
You're a cheap microphone cable.
Anyway. But enough.
You still got me?
Yeah, I can hear you better now.
All right.
Would you unclip it and clip it back in?
This must be better.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. What else is there going on at sci-fi?
Well, it's not sci-fi, but it is science. Okay. Pluto. Pluto, not a planet.
Pluto's not a planet.
We haven't talked about that.
Go ahead, Jason. I know you want to do an editorial about Pluto not being a planet.
Well, I won't do a complete editorial, but I'll just say it's about time that it was recognized as not a planet.
You don't think it should have been a planet?
No. It never was a planet.
Right.
They called it a planet since 1960, I think, but it's not a planet. Never was. It's part of the Kuiper Belt.
So it's just space junk.
Yeah, well, it's...
The moon is more of a planet than Pluto.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the thing, is that when they were trying to come up with a definition, when the people who wanted Pluto to be considered a planet were trying to come up with a definition for planet that would make Pluto a planet, it made the moon a planet. The definition. So...
And the moon is not really even a planetoid, is it?
It's a moon. It's a satellite.
Yeah. It's a moon.
It's your mom, Steve! Get the axe!
Oh, lordy.
Sorry, that's something Pepper does all the time.
Pepper's an interesting friend of Jason's there.
He's a character.
Yeah.
Don't know if he's a listener, so maybe we shouldn't talk about him.
No, he's still got dial-up.
Oh, well, he won't ever hear this show. Oh, lordy, lordy.
Okay, dead air. So Pluto, not a planet. Digging it. Digging it.
Thumbs up.
Well, I mean, that's part of Geek Week here. That's a geeky thing to talk about.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Let's see. Getting really geek, I'll have to say that this week the iPod was re-released in a new version. Now the thing has like a 25-hour battery. You can watch movies for 6 hours instead of 30 minutes. And they have an 80 gig, so it can hold up to 25,000 songs.
Dear Lord.
And it's only $350.
And I even still haven't even gotten a one yet.
Jason's a late bloomer when it comes to stuff like that, but you know what? It's not that big a deal.
Hmm.
It really isn't.
Toys.
Oh, we could get a toys. Speaking of toys, this is a site that a guy named Sean Huckster did where he created a new Doctor Who story called The Second Key using action figures. Yeah. A chance, check out his website. It's pretty interesting. But going to toys, there's a new wave of Doctor Who toys out I saw that now includes Captain Jack and a Krillitane, a werewolf, and a new version of Rose that looks a lot better. Yes, we could do critiques of the Doctor Who toys if you'd like. I think the Tenet one looks
pretty
great.
Good, actually. Yeah.
I think the one of Chris Ferguson could use a little bit better work.
Yeah.
The one of Rose looks pretty good.
I said before, need a life-size
Rose. Life-size Rose doll.
Anatomically correct.
Clothes
optional. I'm sorry, was that out loud?
Clothes optional. This is a family show.
No clothes. What?
Family show. Family show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of families listening to us, West.
Well, you never know.
No, I'm pretty sure. Not a lot of families.
So, Jason, you saw snakes on a plane. Tell us about it.
I am had it with these mother bleeping snakes on this mother bleeping plane. Sorry, I did that for you. Family show.
All right, cool.
I thought it was excellent. It exceeded my expectations. I thought it would
you
be...
You probably had some pretty low expectations.
Well, no, I thought it would be a funny, campy movie, and it actually, there was a lot of good action stuff in there, a lot of good character development. The snakes were cheesy, but that's what you get with CGI snakes. Yeah. But everything that happened in the movie was completely unbelievable. And they did it in such a believable way that it was all right.
MF and snakes and an MF and plane.
Yeah. What's interesting is I actually saw it at a theater in Honolulu, which is how the movie opens up.
Oh, really?
On Honolulu, yeah. So
it wasn't in a theater in Honolulu. It was just on a plane in Honolulu.
Well, no. It opens up in Honolulu. It doesn't start out on the plane. There's a storyline. There's actually a storyline.
There's a plot? I thought they were just on the plane. And
no, there's no. There's a reason it's why like the snakes are on a plane.
It's like a gangster or something that's wanting to kill somebody, right? And they put snakes on the
plane.
Well,
why don't you just tell everybody what happened?
Well, not like it's going to matter. You're there to see the snakes, and you're there to actually see Samuel L. Jackson kick a snake in the face.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done.
I think we figured out that the sequel is probably going to be Snakes on a Train. They do it.
You no, they already. They already. Somebody already did one.
What is it?
Snakes on a Train.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, but it's it's like straight to video, low budget.
Oh, was it the Sci-Fi Channel that did that? Along
no,
with
I've,
versus
I've,
Python
I've,
or
I've
Anaconda?
Seen it. I've seen it on. No, I've seen it out on DVD, straight to DVD. No, no. The funniest one I heard was Bears in a Jetta or something like that.
In a Jetta. What the hell?
Yeah, I thought that one was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever came up with that one, kudos.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty cool. A Toys R Us in England has a list of all the Doctor Who.
Whatever happened to Bear World on Saturday Night?
Bear World? Oh, I forgot about that.
What's the Bear
little,
World?
They did the little mini...
What do you think Bear digital? World is?
Well, it's a world with bears in it, I would assume.
Instead of humans, you have bears.
Yep.
And there were two little children who were quickly eaten.
The bears, huh?
Yes, quickly eaten by the bears.
That's so funny.
Bears, you know. They were almost like the masturbating bears on the Conan O'Brien show. That's what they kind of looked like. They were walking around.
Whack, whack, whack. Hey, speaking of SNL, is there any news on when it premieres?
And no, the only news
who the heck the new head writer is going to be? Or
the only thing I heard was that most of the cast got canned.
Well, they didn't get canned. Most of them left for other projects.
Well, I mean, some of them left for other projects. The ones that were left, they got rid of about half of them.
Well, Lauren likes to do that every once in a while, just clean house.
So we're probably going to lose, and they didn't name who it was, but we're probably going to lose Maya Rudolph, and we're probably going to lose Chris Parnell. We're going to lose Horatio Sands.
All the people that have been there a while.
Right, and the featured performers
think,
are going to get moved
up. Chris Parnell for sure?
Yeah,
they said.
Well, he
I
left and came back, didn't he?
Well, he got fired.
And then he came back.
And, well, Will Ferrell got him his job back.
Well, see, I think that Parnell's one of the funniest people that's ever been.
He really is. I love when he does his raps. Those crack me up. But him and Andy Samberg have been doing a lot of those digital shorts, and I know Samberg's going to stay. He's I wouldn't be surprised if they made him one of the head writers.
All the featured performers are moving up to full. So, we keep having trouble with our recording apparatus. I think playing around on the internet is probably knocking me off, so I'll stop doing that. But yeah, SNL, can't wait for it. Haven't watched it much over the last couple of seasons, but they made me watch it.
Haven't missed a season in years. I love that show. All you SNL critics that just pan it, shut up.
It'll get better, especially
actually
with,
watch it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is you keep saying it'll get better. It hasn't been bad. It's been good.
Especially with Studio 60 being on, it'll raise awareness for Saturday Night Live, I think.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
A lot more people will probably watch it at that point. And, you know, there are going to be a lot of jokes made about
everybody everybody who's ever been involved with the show will tell you it goes up and down. And they just don't worry about it when it goes down because they know it's going to come back up. And everybody's going to come back and be like, oh, remember when it was good? And it was like, oh, you mean the time when you were saying it sucked? Oh, okay.
Yeah. They'll remember it more fondly than it was.
Yeah. It's like,
I remember the Anthony Michael Hall dates with fondness.
You're getting into bad years, but. yeah. No, I love SNL. I always have. All except for probably the 95 season. Even the 80s, the early 80s, I like.
I would have to say that it's definitely had its ups and downs, most notably with their musical guests here lately. I think they're just horrible. They pick horrible. The last one we saw, Nelly Furtado.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Furtado, I might say. That Promiscuous song is one of the stupidest things, and I don't know why it's the number one song in the world. Well, I do, because Teenage America is pretty stupid, and they'll be fed anything. But, you know, my 10-year-old kid came home singing the lines from Promiscuous, and I got kind of upset about that.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that Fly Like a Bird Girl went to I'm a Big Whore in, like, 0.60 seconds.
Is it really hard to believe?
No, actually.
Yeah, out in Hollywood?
No, not actually.
That's pretty much the way it happens out there.
And she'll probably say, the song is anti-promiscuous sex, but you watch the video and No, and I didn't mean to watch it. It was on. It's one of those train wreck situations where you just can't stop looking.
Anyway, what I was going to say about that, though, is about the musical guests on SNL. Is that's one of the concessions Lauren's had to make, is the NBC has kind of pushed to have more control over that, and he's given it up so as to keep more control over the actual show.
Well, you know, I would say that most people turn off their freaking TV when the musical act comes on. Unless it's somebody really cool.
Yeah, unless it's somebody I want to see, I don't even pay attention to it.
I think that's when everyone goes to the bathroom and, like, gets a snack. And then, is the musical guest over? Okay,
I step outside.
Cigarette time.
Yeah. I'm not condoning cigarette smoking.
Plus, it's just really hard to sound good. On Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Well, really, you know, when you have a lot of rap acts that deal with sampling and beatbox machines, it doesn't sound good live when you have a drum set going. It just doesn't. And unless you're somebody who's a classic performer like, say, Aerosmith, you're not going to sound good.
Are you trying to say that Ashley Simpson isn't a classic performer?
I would say that, yes, she probably isn't a classical performer.
Just keep it
simple. I'm having trouble with my microphone again.
Yeah, I got to get new cables. Actually, I took the good cable off that and gave it to Derek because it's longer, and put the crap cable in there, it was shorter. And I forgot it was the crap cable, and I apologize.
You gave Derek the long cable?
Yeah, Derek needed the long cable.
I already have the long cable.
Speaking of anacondas.
Innuendo.
Innuendo. I have noticed, however, just segueing into going back to what we were talking about with snakes on a plane. I know this is jumping around, but...
Snakes on a plane.
Snakes on an MF'ing plane. I know that sci-fi has been showing a little bit more science fiction-oriented films lately. And I have found out that I think the lady in charge
When was this?
Starting here lately. They got a new vice president in charge of programming. He's getting more into science fiction.
Still haven't seen anything good.
He's the reason why we have Doctor Who on there now.
Well, I hope we get more stuff like that. Yeah. Still haven't seen anything good besides that.
Well, they got Dead Like Me on there now. You ever seen that? It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, but, well.
I've heard good things about it, but I haven't actually seen it.
He started to get actual sci-fi shows to go on there, and...
Go figure.
You know, stuff that got canceled, like...
Sci-fi on the Sci-Fi Channel?
Yeah,
I know.
I think the USA Network has more sci-fi on it than the Sci-Fi Channel. I mean, look at them. They're USA.
Oh, yeah.
Their number one show right now is the 4400, and that's a straight sci-fi show, and should be on the Sci-Fi Channel, but they didn't want it over there.
Yeah.
That's because they don't want anything good sci-fi.
Well, you know, since sci-fi is showing... You know, I have yet to see an episode of Law & Order, although people are telling me it's on there.
I've seen the wrestling. That's...
Now that
cracks me up.
Wrestling is kind of science fiction. None of it's real.
Dude, it would make more sense for the wrestling to be on G4.
Yeah, it would. And Star Trek on sci-fi.
Yeah, go figure.
Well, it's because the Spike Network... paid more money for Next Generation than Sci-Fi Channel was willing to give up. But, you know, if you think about it, though, a Sci-Fi Channel got Original Trek.
Well, G4 showing Next Generation as well.
Yeah, I know, because they're a sister to the Spike Channel. But if you think about it, though, if Sci-Fi Channel got Original Trek, Next Generation, they got Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise, it would be the Star Trek Channel. There would be no time for anything else. Now, sci-fi is...
I agree with you if you exclude Enterprise.
Well, Enterprise just got picked up by sci-fi, so they'll be showing that now.
No, yeah, that figures. It's a perfect place for Enterprise.
I just remember the days when you could turn it on. I remember watching Tom Baker Doctor Who on the Sci-Fi Channel when it first came on for like 6 months, and then it disappeared.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
They showed it in its 30-minute episodes, and then they had to chop half of it out to put the commercials in, so it didn't really, really, really didn't make sense at that point. You know, they used to show...
I honestly don't think they used to be as bad as they are now. They're just... I apologize to the Sci-Fi Network, not really, but you're just awful. You have no concept of what the fans want.
I think what they're
doing
is they're showing stuff that mainstream non-sci-fi people would watch, so they'll watch the show.
Hey, you're not the non-sci-fi channel.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when my fiance who hates sci-fi is like, that show looks interesting, I know it's not on the right channel. I want to turn on the sci-fi and see Beastmaster. Well, no, that should be on the Fantasy Channel, which they should have. And I don't know.
No,
what,
I dig Beastmaster.
Why the hell are they having such a problem getting the horror channel going? Because they've got a website for the horror channel. They've got all kinds of backers for the horror channel, but they can't get it on the cable networks. And they were going to show uninterrupted, uncut horror films, uncensored, And it would be like on a movie channel, kind of like Turner Classic Movies, but it would show horror films and horror TV shows, and they can't get it off the ground. The horror channel.com
won't pick up, you know, pick up some slack, man.
They should have their own channel.
Fangoria, the Fangoria channel.
Fangoria magazine is kind of going down. I wanted to show this to Jason. Check it out. It's a 12-inch David Tennant doll.
You know, I was cool. I was just thinking. You know, we make a lot of unsolicited, plugs for things on this show.
Yeah, we do. Maybe they'll hear us and go, "Hey, cool! They're promoting us and send us some listeners."
Yeah, I don't think we could expect anything from the Sci-Fi Network.
I would like to say I want to thank the 400 and something people that have been downloading us on a weekly basis. Apparently, someone's listening to us, and to our one fan who has signed up on our page.
I'm hoping that we're getting better and that you're enjoying what we're doing here.
We haven't been around for a long time, the last couple weeks. It's just been summer. We kind of took time off. Everybody went on vacation. It's the fall. Everything's new.
Yeah.
Even though everything's dying, yeah. We're ready to go.
Fall, my favorite season.
Amen.
Fall. Love it. Love it. Really looking forward to the cooler weather.
I'll give our fan a plug. Maybe this will make his day. His name is Jeffrey Howard. He has his own podcast. It is Vineyard Uncorked. I haven't listened to it yet, but Jeffrey, I promise I'm going to download
Jeffrey
it.
Jeffrey Howard.
Jeffrey Howard, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
Our first fan.
Our fan. He's brave enough to come out and say, "I'm a fan of your show."
Thanks, Jeff.
I always like the name, Jeff.
I like that glass of wine there, Jeff. That's Jeff. Nice.
And I actually am a wine fanatic, and I'll be interested to listen to what you have to say about wine. And please tell your friends to listen to us.
And Sideways is a wonderful movie.
Yeah, love Sideways. Pinot Noir. That is the way to go. And I enjoy Frasier, too, and it's all about wine.
Yes, that's what that entire series was about, was wine.
They whined a lot, that's for sure.
They're alcoholics is what that's called.
Right. If you go to our podcast site, which is geekweekga.podomatic.com, we got some pictures on there of Dragon Con. Some of them, some stormtroopers we saw. I'll get some more up there. There's a picture of me and Jamie with the Dalek. And we'll get some pictures of the rest of the Geek Week cast here eventually. We have a website at geekweekga.bravehost.com. It's going to be more of a proper website where you can... We'll add a blog page, and we'll start answering questions and have contact sheets and stuff like that so people can get in touch with us. But let's give a quick shout-out to other people, some more peeps that we know. Jason's looking at me like, that just doesn't sound right on you.
I was looking over there.
Yeah.
I was looking away from you
my
so
last,
as not to snicker.
My last podcast, I had Russell from Ramble with Russ, and I want to apologize to him for the poor quality of the sound yet again. I think we've got it licked, and I hope you come back on the show again, and more of us can talk to you, and it'll be a lot more fun.
I wasn't trying to do anything against the other podcasts. I dig them.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Dig them.
Like clams. I don't know where that came from. Anyway.
I was thinking about that frog.
I also had a mini review of the Friday the 13th box set, talking about how I like the box set. You have to download it, listen to it. Some thoughts on
is that
guys.
What you said? You said you liked the box set.
Well, I gave it. I gave a
I'm
review
a big fan
more
of the box.
I did.
It was more in depth.
Yeah, it was more in depth. And I like the movies. They're pretty cool. I like the Wizard of Oz. I like the Tin Man. What movie is that from? Quick. A Christmas Story, man. He's standing in line waiting to go see Santa, and this weird kid goes, "I like the Wizard of Oz. I like the Tin Man." Okay, I'm getting weird looks now.
So I enjoyed the Friday the 13th series.
Yeah, I was basically, Jason, I was basically telling them.
I actually have all of Friday the 13th.
More the technical aspects of the box set. You've got the individual releases,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah.
I'd like to compare those to the box set to see what the special features are.
There are no special features on the individual
Well, there's none on the movies themselves, and they've got two movies per disc on here. And they're very sharp and clear, crystal clear, and they sound good. Well, they're all in mono sound except for part 7's in 5.1 surround sound of the director.
It's part 3 in 3D.
No, but with high definition, they're going to be releasing it in 3D, so you'll be able to see it finally. The special features disc is the cool thing. It's the last disc on the set, and there's about an hour and a half documentary on the making of the entire series, and it's broken up into the different parts.
So imagine Sean Cunningham shows up.
Now, does it actually cover all of them?
It covers everything that Paramount did.
Okay, that's what I was. Okay. So it is only Friday the 13th.
It's from Crystal Lake to Manhattan is what it's called.
Not the Jason.
No, it doesn't do the Jason series because... Once New Line purchased it, they purchased the rights to the character Jason, but not to Crystal Lake and not for the name Friday the 13th. That's why it's, you know, Jason X or Jason Goes to Hell the Final Friday. They can say that, but they can't say Friday the 13th. Sean S. Cunningham
versus Jason.
I don't think they wanted to pony up the money that Paramount wanted for the Friday the 13th name. Just in some sequel news.
At the time, they probably didn't have the money.
They probably didn't. Jason X did okay. I thought it was an okay movie, but it's like Monster in Space, Hellraiser in Space, Leprechaun in Space.
No, I liked it because it was a Jason movie, but at the same time it was a spoof of a Jason movie.
Right.
And that's hard to do, it's to pull off both at the same time.
I love when Robo Jason's like beating up the
ending.
That ending was beautiful.
Did you like the ending?
Best ending.
I want a continuation of the ending.
Well, they now have a timeline where they can fit the Freddy versus Jason movie into the timeline. Where, you know, after Freddy and Jason do their thing, he gets blown up and Jason Goes to Hell is after Freddy versus Jason.
I really don't care.
Yeah.
I thought...
not,
I thought
one of the few franchises I'm not really worried about the continuity with.
Yeah.
I don't think I enjoyed Freddy versus Jason as much as I thought I would.
I loved it the first time I watched it.
I thought it was cool the other night when I was sitting down and watching it. I was like, this is really stupid. It was the Freddy part.
It's the Friday the 13th in the Freddy movie.
Jason coming through the cornfield, whacking the kids.
Exactly. Now, that was cool. That was pretty cool.
The fight scenes between the two is great stuff.
It looks like Sean Cunningham, the original producer, looks like they're going to try to do a remake of the original movie and try to do it with more updated stuff, so it may be okay. The interesting news that I heard was that they assigned Rob Zombie to do a remake of the original Halloween movie. That should be interesting.
Yeah, it's not a reimagining. It's not a... I'm trying to remember what the actual phrase he said.
Basically...
It's not a sequel, and it's not a reimagining.
It's not a
prequel.
So
figure that out.
It's just more along the lines of retelling the story in a different way.
I have a very perplexed look on my face.
It's like, it's not a reimagining. It's a retelling of the story in a different way.
Yeah. But hey, it's Rob Zombie, you know.
It's a frame-by-frame recreation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Rob Zombie basically remade the Texas Chainsaw Massacre when he did House of a Thousand Corpses. Yeah. It's very similar. Kids show up at the farmhouse and get slaughtered.
Well, yeah.
But there's not Leatherface.
But
you know,
it is a little
bit. He was in Bill Moseley.
Even before Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you can go back to, like, The Hills Have Eyes. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Chainsaw was first.
No, what makes that movie different, and I'll tell you what it is. It's one moment in that movie that makes it different from every film Zombies movie.
Okay.
House of a Thousand Corpses is when dude's holding the gun to the cop's head and he just stands there.
And the camera pans out.
Yeah, and it just pans out and you're just sitting there in your seat for like 5 minutes. I know it's not literally 5 minutes, but it seems like it.
And you're like, pull the trigger or don't pull the trigger.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God. At that moment. Just made it completely different for me.
Do you think Rob Zombie would be a good candidate to say reimagine the Psycho movies or
Psycho? No,
they should.
I don't know. I don't know why he needs to reimagine anything.
The only
I think
one that can play
things.
Psycho is Anthony Perkins, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Because Vince Vaughn was not in that movie.
Put it to rest. You know?
I mean, it's back to what we were talking about a while back. Is that
they don't need to make the sequel.
Let's stop the reimaginings. Let's stop it. Come up with new ideas. Zombie's done it already, and he wants to do more.
Did you see
I'm all about it.
Devil's Rejects?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic movie, actually.
Yeah.
It's creepy and weird.
Yeah, I did.
I liked it.
It's painful to watch.
I liked it. It was much better than Cats. Yes. I will go see it again and again.
Another SNL reference.
That's one of my favorite sketches ever. I love it. It was much better than Cats. You will go see it. But just to say, the Friday the 13th box sets, it's worth picking up if you can get it under $50. It came out, it was like $79, but I ended up getting it really, really cheap, so it's worth having.
Yeah,
just as fans of the series, it's fun to pull them out and watch them. You know, Crispin Glover's in one of them.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
Feldman, of course.
Kevin Bacon.
What's his name? Horshack from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah, he's in part six.
Yeah.
Well, if Tony Goldwyn is in part six as well. You know who he is, don't you? Mm-hmm. He was
Aaron Gray.
Yeah, she was in Jason Goes to Hell. Tony Goldwyn is the guy from she's in Jason Goes to Hell.
She's in New Beginning.
Aaron Gray.
Yeah.
From Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
She's in Jason Goes to Hell.
She plays the waitress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking of the wrong one.
You're getting them mixed up.
There's 10 of them. Come on.
Yeah.
And they're all the same.
Yeah. Tony Goldwyn is the guy who played Patrick Swayze's friend in Ghost.
Okay.
He's been in some stuff here recently, but he always plays kind of a bad guy. That was his first movie as part six. And it was filmed in Covington, Georgia.
Yes.
And maybe one day we can go out to Covington and take some pictures because the camp's still out there.
That's where my friend Noah lives.
Have you been to the camp? Did you go to it's at Hard Labor Creek State Park, and the camp is still set up the same exact way. Oh. I mean, it's what they normally rent to people to stay in while they're there, so you can stay in the Jason camp, and the dock is still there, like in part six. And maybe we'll have a report, because I'm trying to get a group up to go with me to Corpsewood Manor over in Tryon, Georgia.
I think it'd be funny if we do a spoof. We go out there, we film like a long weekend, we do a spoof, and nobody dies.
The Boar Witch Project.
Yeah, nobody dies.
Yeah, he's just 6 hours at the Jason water going, whittling.
Is there something down there? It looks like it's moving.
Dude.
I don't know. Let's go.
It's a ghost. No, but I want to go to Corpsewood Manor. It's an interesting-sounding place. It's the ruins of a house out in Tryon, Georgia. And apparently in the mid-80s, there was this college professor from Chicago that moved out there with his manservant dude, who I think they're alluding to was his lover. But he worked with...
is that what the finger quotes was about,
yeah,
Wes?
That's what it was. Lover.
You're doing finger quotes on a podcast.
Yeah. I might have pictures of me on there with the finger quotes up, but in the enhanced version. But
two frames.
Yeah. Cheek chunk. So they come to live here, and apparently he used to work on the LSD project with Timothy Leary, and so he had some LSD with him. But they built a mansion out in the middle of the woods. No running water, no electricity, and they lived, you know, pretty like we were in a castle, but they had no electricity. But they had a chicken house and had their own food, and a couple of local teenage boys got liquored up one night, went out there, tried to rob them, and ended up shooting them both, killing them. Well, the house burned down. Now the ruins are there, and it's supposed to be in one of the top 10 most haunted places in America. It's right here in Tryon. So I've always wanted to go out there and check it out.
Get the ghost hunters on that.
Well, you know.
That's what we should do, is go do a spoof of Ghost Hunters.
Let's do that.
We should.
You heard it right here, folks. Coming up soon, the Geek Week GA team goes out and tries to find ghosts at Corpsewood Manor. And, you know, the reason why we're Geek Week GA is because
there's
another Geek Week ahead of us. Now, there is actually a Ghost Seekers out there. We'll have to find something else, like Ghost Finders.
Ghostbusters, that's it!
Oh, that's so original. We should
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Vague, that's for sure. No, I think we should do Ghost Lookers, Ghost Finders, Ghost Keepers.
Apparition.
What's another word for find?
Yeah.
All right. Apparition Dwellers. Apparition. Well, we could go on that all night.
No, we really couldn't.
Well, I think that comes to the end of our podcast, because we're running out of time. Won't be long before this thing cuts off. So, this is West,
Jason,
Dan, Derek,
and we thank you for listening to us. And come back next week. Thank you very much. Huh?
ask my loving all night. Can she get it?